We said last week that just like by stealing, it's not just the act of stealing itself that's asur, but anything that is remotely connected or could bring you to steal. So too, the second avera that he brings as an example of how difficult it is to be totally clean of that avera is arayis. The alzeh haderech, we're in the middle here of the paragraph that starts with the daber ato min ha'arayis. Like in the middle of that paragraph. The alzeh haderech. See where it is? Huh? Oh, you have the same thing I have. Okay. Who has the one that was there? See it? It's on page Mem Test 49 in the second paragraph, four lines from the bottom of that paragraph. The alzeh haderech asru beinyan zeh shel harayis kol ma shehu mimino shel haznus o akorav elav yeh be'ezechu sheyeh. Because of this, the rabbis at least prohibited, and some of these things we said are even from the Torah, anything that is remotely connected to promiscuity with any of a person's senses. That means whether it's actions or what you see and look at or what you speak or what you hear and even what you think. All of these things, there are things that are asur because of the isur of arayis. The ata avilach arayis akol elam midivrei mzal. Now I'll show you clearly examples of all of these things. The maisa, what does that mean, action? What things are prohibited because they will bring you to to worse averus? The hainu hanegia or achibuk or yotze, physical contact between people who are not married, except for fathers, daughters, granddaughters, mothers, sons, grandsons, and the opposite way around too, is prohibited. That includes brothers and sisters. However, when it comes to brothers and sisters, since many times very difficult, especially if the brothers or sisters are not frum, even if they are frum, but they're not really frum, or standard of frum, that's so it's customary for brothers and sisters to hug and kiss, and they get offended if you don't. The best thing in those situations is to explain, and there are heterim between a brother and a sister only, not an aunt and a niece, a nephew, or an uncle and a niece, or cousins, definitely not cousins, to have physical contact, even hugging and kissing a brother to a sister, even a married sister and a married brother or whatever. There are heterim. It's one thing where there may be an exception. It's preferable not to rely on that. But where there's a need, shalom bayis issues or whatever, there is a reason to be maker. Physical contact that is not shalchiba, it's not of a sensual nature. For instance, a doctor is allowed to touch a woman who's not his wife for the sake of examining her or feeling her pulse or whatever. And a woman is allowed to go to a male doctor unless there's a female doctor who is just as competent or whatever she feels comfortable with, then why not go to the female doctor? But otherwise, the halacha is you're allowed to go to a male doctor, even though I saw recently they gave out something that it's also for a woman to go to a male doctor or whatever. It's absurd. It's not true. The halacha is not like that. And the man is allowed to go to a female doctor too, if she is the one who is competent and whatever. Sitting next to somebody on a bus or on a train or whatever is really maker hadin mutter. man doesn't have to get up if he's sitting next to a woman, comes and sits down to him on the bus. Lichatchila, right? If you want to be mahadir, so if you can avoid that, that's fine. But it's not awesome for somebody to sit next to somebody else on a bus. Can't say they're doing something awesome. Okay, again, somebody who goes around, you know, on buses, but not going to sit next to women, right? Or women sit next to men. That's a big problem. Like, that's awesome. But if that's not your intention, your intention is you don't want to stand. You want to sit. And the only place to sit is by somebody of the opposite sex. It's mutter to do that. The fact that there are buses where women sit in the back and men sit in the front or whatever, ideally, maybe there is such an inyan. But nobody should think that the halacha is that if you're not on a bus like that, that it's also to sit down, or that you should make a chilul Hashem and whatever. You don't have to remain sitting. You can get up, give your seat to somebody else. If you're a man sitting next to a woman, or a woman not sitting next to a man. But if you don't do that, there's nothing awesome about it. What else?
Can I ask a question?
What?
If someone is in your family is not mentally, you know, either has Down syndrome or mental disabilities or something like that, how do you think hold?
I don't hear that. Give me more specific.
So if you
specific.
Have a brother or sister who is Down syndrome or has mental retardation or something like this, does it change any of the, you know, in terms of being able to touch or not touch?
No, if it shouldn't make any difference at all. The only difference could be is when they're young, when they're considered mature. For instance, you're allowed to have physical contact with a man with a little girl, right? Till she's probably around 7, 8, 6, 7, around that age. Depends when she already, you know, starts looking mature. And the same thing with a girl, with a little boy under 9, probably not a problem. So, but beyond that, there's no difference, unless it's for medical purposes. And it has, like any other medical purpose. But just because the person is mentally impaired doesn't make it mutter to have physical contact with them. What else with physical things? It doesn't apply to everything. Shaking hands. So there are reliable poskim who hold. My rebbeim don't hold like that, and I don't hold like that. But there are reliable poskim who hold that you're allowed to shake hands with a member of the opposite sex just as a social grace. You should not rely on that lechatchil. But in a case where it would cause a loss, perhaps, of a job, if you don't shake hands with your boss, you know, and embarrass him publicly, or it's going to cause somebody terrible embarrassment, there are heterim. However, it's better in those situations to explain ahead of time that you don't shake hands, instead of relying on this heter. It is definitely better not, because there are many poskim hold, or Moshe Feinstein amongst them, that shaking hands is not just a social nicety, but there's a certain chiba in shaking somebody's hand, even though the way most people shake hands with a limp hand is no chiba at all. But if you shake hands where you're supposed to shake hands, right, with a hefty handshake, so then it could be it's a certain show of endearment, and therefore it should be osur. And surely it can be easily lead to a kind of endearment. Therefore, most poskim hold, or good number of poskim hold, that you should not shake hands. If you're in a situation where it is compromising, again, lechatchila, it's better to anticipate the situation and explain ahead of time. If you can't anticipate and explain, then there's a way of doing it in a way that you don't insult the person. And that is that when you don't shake hands, you immediately apologize for not doing it, so you are on the defensive, and therefore the person doesn't feel insulted because they don't have to be on the defensive. It 99% of the time works. If you're at a party, or something, and people are not frum, and they come over to shake your hand, the best thing is to keep both hands busy, with one with a drink and the other with something, food, so there's none to shake hands. Or find other ways. The Panovich Rav in Miami, when he used to come to Miami, there was an old woman who adored him. She was a very big contributor to Panovich. Very big contributor. Whenever she saw the Panovich Rav, she used to call him Reb Rav. She thought that was his name, Panovich Rav. So she called him Reb Rav. So whenever she saw him, she would put out her hand to shake his hand. He knew that that was going to be. So whenever he saw her, he, from yards away, would pick up his hands and say, "Ah, Mrs. So-and-so, it's good, so good to see you," and keep his hands in the air. So what's he going to do? His hands are in the air. There's no way to shake his hand. So he got around it very nicely. Sometimes it doesn't work. I remember that I was at a party once, and the woman put out her hand to shake my hand. She had a glass of soda in one hand, and the other hand was free. And she had her glass of soda in her left hand, and she put out her hand to shake her hand. I picked up my hands like this, as you know, that I'm not going to shake her hand. And she got so flustered what to do with this hand, she didn't know, and she just threw a drink in my face. Not on purpose, just she didn't like know which hand, what to do with it. So she just... Sometimes it doesn't work. The and then she wasn't embarrassed. I mean, she wasn't anymore on the offensive. She was apologizing profusely, so there was no problem. In any case, yeah.
Between a brother and a sister, you said they're hetering for if there's some bias issues or whatever. But what about other things that are not like their chiba, like passing things or like shaking hands or like, you know, giving each other five or things like this?
Brother and sister?
Brother and sister.
Passing things, you can pass things to anybody.
But like...
Except if you're married.
Pat them on the back, you know.
Oh, that's,
you know, whatever, all kinds of like side things. Like
those are also derech chiba. To somebody who's not your brother or sister, you can't do that.
No, I understand.
You can't pat him on the back, and you can't, what did you say? Whatever.
I'm saying between a brother and sister.
Between a brother and a sister, again, if those are derech chiba, it's no different than hugging and kissing. But again, since they're heterim for even the hugging and kissing, surely they're heterim for these things. If it'll cause, if it won't cause any problems, then don't do it.
If you're at a gathering where people are doing this, can you stay at the gathering even though you have no intention of doing it?
Yeah, what if you're a gathering people speaking Lashon Hara?
So that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, so I'm saying,
do you have to leave?
You don't have to leave. You don't have to leave unless you're going to be dragged into these things, whether it's Lashon Hara or people are eating something not kosher. As long as you're not giving the impression that you sanction it, and you are not causing people to do what's osur, and there's no marasayin that people think that you're doing the same thing, if any of those three things are not there, then the chara is no reason why you can't be there. May not, again, if there's reason to be there, it's not, it could be not the best place to go, go somewhere else. But if you have to be there for reasons, then you don't have to leave. Yeah.
We're talking about brother and sister, and there's a tragedy that happens in the family.
Perhaps
one of the parents nipped or something like that, and they just
wait for each other's palms. I'm losing you because I can't see you now. Yeah.
Okay. You have a brother and sister. There's a tragedy in the family. One of the parents just nipped off.
Brother and sister. That.
That there is a tragedy in the family. That one of the parents is nipped or something, and they just automatically fling into each other's arms. Would you call that chiba or?
yes and no. In those, that kind of situation, I would say that it's a place where you can rely on the heter, because it's not 100% chiba, right? You know, the situation of a very choshev rov at a funeral, where there was one of the children of the nifter, really, like when. And the little bit that the person was not 100% stable. A woman, a girl. And she like threw herself in the arms of this Rav. But it wasn't like chiba, it was like more out of desperation or whatever, and he didn't push her away, you know, and nobody held that he did the wrong thing. So that is okay. Kosher Cain, when it comes to a brother and sister, should be okay. Again, these are the kind of things that you can't give a psak ahead of time, but you have to use the fifth Shulchan Aruch of a little seichel to know when something fits into this category and when it's a completely different category. For instance, right, the Gemara says that if a woman, you know, falls in front of you, you're a man, and there's nobody around to pick her up, right, then you should pick her up and shouldn't be a chassid shota. Yeah, right? Or woman's drowning, right? You don't say, well, I'm sorry, but you're in a bathing suit, I can't look and I can't touch you, so nice knowing you, and I'll say Kaddish. That's not proper. You save her life. And the opposite, if you're a woman lifeguard, you save a man's life too. Right? So you have to know where these halachas apply and where they're a completely different world, and they have nothing to do with these halachas. Sometimes there's a very thin line between them. Yeah.
I was just going to say that I know somebody who, she became from in Eretz Yisrael, and she went back to England afterwards to visit her family.
Watch what you say.
And while she was there, she was standing on a corner and the light turned green, and this elderly blind man reached over to her and said, can you please help me cross the street? And she got all panicky. She didn't know what to do. She had just learned you're not allowed to touch men, and she didn't know what to do, and she ended up taking him across the street. And when she came back to Eretz Yisrael, she ran to her rub, and I don't know what got in. I
sat behind the screen and confessed her sin.
What am I supposed to do? And he said, you should have let the guy get run over by a car.
No. No.
Okay. Now, obviously, those kinds of situations have nothing to do with chiba, and that's what the Gemara says. A person who is frum in those situations is a chassid shota, a fool. So it's foolishness. It has nothing to do with frumkeit. Okay. But there's, again, a very thin line between it, and it really depends on the place where you are. I always deride, you know, where not calling people by their first names or whatever, which I hold is not osur. But on the other hand, if you live in a place where that is the custom, then that becomes chiba. To call somebody else's wife by her first name, it becomes derech chiba. Maybe it's not a proper thing to do in that situation or in that society, right? You can't judge, you know, from one place to another place what's considered derechiba, what's considered modest, and what's considered immodest. It really depends sometimes on the environment that you're in. It's not always so simple. But you have to use seichel, that's it.
Yeah.
Grandchildren are the same thing. According to most opinions, all kinds of grandchildren are the same as children. So grandfather with his granddaughters, or even great-granddaughters, same halacha, and beyond that, no, not too much of a shaila anyway. granddaughters, great-granddaughters, both from a son or a daughter. There are opinions that it makes a difference if it's a son's daughter or a daughter's daughter. Like halacha, you can rely on the fact that it doesn't make a difference, and therefore grandchildren, even great grandchildren with great grandparents, there's no issur. Hug, kiss, whatever.
If they helping a woman, and if other people around, other women around.
If there are other women around, then it's better to let a woman do it.
Like, should let her wait until if Alatan is the one standing by her. I should let her wait for a different person to...
No, she has to wait, and because of that, it depends on the situation. If waiting means you can let a woman go and help her, then let the woman go and help her. But if waiting means, well, there may be a woman coming by next week or whatever, so hold on, right, just stay there on the ground with your legs broken, nobody's going to pick you up, Right, that's...
Something like even going off a bus, if there's a woman in there, I tell the woman, wait a second and call that woman, or just help her go down?
An older person who needs help to go down?
Yeah, older woman.
And you're standing there, and it's going to become very complicated to get somebody else to do it.
Not because very complicated like this.
If there's somebody right there who's another woman, let the woman do it. If she's not right there, right, and the woman really wants to get off the bus, and the bus driver's closing the doors, and the bus is starting to go, help her down.
Okay. Yes. Siblings, I'm not familiar. I don't have any brothers. I never heard that halacha before. But
you don't have to get brothers.
No, but I have a son, and he's not allowed to touch his sisters. Is that what it means? I don't know.
How old is your son?
15 and a half.
How old is his sisters?
All different ages, below that.
The ones up till. Up till bas mitzvah, there's a tailor. And he was less than bar mitzvah for sure, a tailor. He's over bar mitzvah and. She's over 12. Yeah, preferably they shouldn't touch each other.
You shouldn't touch, and sometimes children fight with each other. He's not allowed to fight. I can tell him that he's not allowed to fight.
I know, I mean,
you don't have to make a big deal about it.
I should tell him in the halacha that he's not allowed to touch
him. Just tell him the halacha once.
Stop hitting her.
Should let him know, yeah.
He can hold his big sister for sure.
100%.
And anyone until about a 5-year-old.
The baby sister could hold him too.
He could hold a 5-year-old sister or whatever.
Yes.
Women are allowed to swim with the male.
A woman what?
Allowed to swim with the male too.
It's preferable that you find a place where there is a woman lifeguard if you're a woman. If there's a male lifeguard, there are definitely heterim for a woman to swim there.
Does it make a difference if he's a goy or not?
Does it make a difference if he's a goy or not?
Does it make a difference if it's a beach or a pool?
If it's one of those little wading pools, yeah, then you don't need a lifeguard. If a pool that you need a lifeguard, then I don't know what's the difference between the ocean and a big pool.
I've heard that in the ocean, you kind of have to have a male lifeguard because they're stronger to pull somebody out of the water because of the currents movement.
I don't know. I know women who are stronger than men. I mean, there's women wrestlers too. So I don't want to start up with them. So I'm sure women lifeguards are strong enough to be lifeguards. I don't know. I mean, that doesn't sound like a difference. L'chatchila, it's better to have women lifeguards. But l'halacha, if the only place you can go swimming is where there are men lifeguards, a woman can go there. And the opposite probably is also true, but that usually doesn't happen. Yeah.
But if you go to, I mean, I've gone to these women's beaches and they always have these male lifeguards.
Yeah.
I mean, you still have to cover yourself up as if you were walking down the street. I mean, cause
not if you're swimming.
You don't have to. But there's a man there who could see you.
Okay. He's a lifeguard.
So it's different. You could.
He's doing his job, supposedly. Unfortunately, the reason why some people hold that that's true is because doctors do their job and they're doctors. But lifeguards, their job sometimes is to be a lifeguard and not just to save you. I mean, it's known in the world that the people who take jobs as lifeguards don't only do it to save people who are drowning.
No, they like to get a suntan and look at girls.
Right. So that's why there are people who hold that it's not okay. But the Maisa, we assume that the lifeguard is there to do his job, and therefore you can go swimming, and you can go swimming the way you normally go swimming. You shouldn't parade yourself in front of the lifeguard for no purpose. He's not going to save you from drowning in the sand. But if you go swimming normally, you can go swimming normally.